Blog Talk Radio.
Do you know God has called you? Do you know your purpose? Let us help you get on cue.
I learned more about the heart of leadership than the art of leadership. What Eric Powell does in this session is make the leader in you come alive.
Welcome to the show. You're listening to On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. Thanks for joining us. Friends, no matter if you are the actor or the director, the Messiah or the rock, no matter the role, you have a purpose and you're a leader in that purpose. Our goal here is simple at On Cue is to inspire and equip all to lead where they are. In other words, get us on cue with God's will, on cue with his calling in our lives, which is our purpose, and get others on cue with that purpose. What is Q? It's how Nehemiah, a model transformational leader, led a starved, desperate, isolated, broken people in closing the gaps around ancient Jerusalem. In a sense, he also built a way of life. And how did he do it? He C-U-E'd them up. C is for common ground. It's why we come together, what we can agree on. And U is unified thought. What vision can we share together is the what we intend to do. And E, equally yoked, what's the game plan? What success looks like? What's my role in it? It's how we do this together. So Q Leadership integrates biblical principles of leadership using Nehemiah as a model to help you to do two things. One, get people to trust you. Two, and get people to follow you in discipleship. So trust and discipleship is at the very axis of leadership. As we always do, we like to start our show with a quick prayer. So, Lord, you're a powerful, lover, merciful, living God. Lord, we just thank you for this day. Lord, and lead and bless this ministry and our audience and all that are serving you, Lord. We know that this Q Leadership is your brainchild, but our calling in your name, we honor you today by doing two things, by giving you the glory and serving this generation through Q. Lord, your word shares in Romans 12:2, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We'll use this ministry to complete that purpose, align, equip, and transform some new leaders for your glory. Help others hear the call and receive that call and raise some transformation leaders and gatekeepers in Christ's name. Amen. What to expect today during our time? We all would like to have a dialogue, a conversation about leadership based in God's word. Try to equip leaders, you know, like you and me, with a roadmap to tap into faith in building that trust and building that discipleship in your purpose and among others. And also we'd like to highlight everyday leaders who are making a difference, who can testify to God's goodness and their own transformation. Our show is a lot of things, but it is not to criticize, but to shine some light on some truth and love. Not to tell you what to do, but provide a different lens in order to see things. It's not to focus on mere symptoms of a problem, but really get to the root of the problem. In a sense, treat the infection, not the runny nose. So today, as with any day, let's be open. Let's pray that we hear the Lord and not me, and have the questions, the right questions in mind. And no matter what the differences may be, remember that this life is about love and surrender. And of course, there may be some difference of opinions as we go, but let us do what a true transformation leader says. Let us agree without being disagreeable. Be thought partners and just have a fruitful, fruitful dialogue. So we in beginning of a new week, and we end one. This week has not lacked a series of events, some good and some bad. From the business perspective, if you've been reading the headlines, and if you're technology and energy, I wouldn't say geek, but from my perspective, I'm one of those. Look at my daughter looking at me, saying that maybe it's the right word. We saw Tesla in the latest news, some technology advance, unveil some powerful solar battery for homes. As you see, the Elon Musk, the CFO of Tesla, unveiled this new product, and this battery is designed to go in conjunction with solar power and so forth. We commend Tesla on his constant pursuit of discovery of new innovations. In the education front, I go for my personal story. My daughter first took the SAT yesterday, and she's also my assistant here, and she always keeps me in line. And it's for the first time she began her own discovery and her steps in order to becoming a doctor, as she wants to do. And it began with a little stress yesterday, but I think it ended pretty well. Even what we saw in the news this week from a Baltimore perspective, as we saw a series of riots off the death of Freddie Gray, who was sustained fatal spinal cord injury in police custody. The riots, of course, rippled through the through the city with unrest and looting, arson, and as well as scattered violence. The mood kind of changed a little bit after six police officers were charged with the death of Mr. Gray. And it changed even more yesterday as we had some peaceful protests of individuals trying to really take hold of the city again. And even as the curfew was lifted by Mayor Stephanie Rawlins Blake, I hear such clarity. I heard such clarity from the interview on Meet the Press this morning from a citizen who said that the leaders, the business politicians and clergy, and I'm going to paraphrase this, how can leadership discover solutions when they're not willing to accept what the problems are? And the key word in that is discovery as well. You know, even moving to sports, we saw the NBA playoffs continue with the last year's champs getting ousted from the playoff. The series of the Triple Crown on yesterday with American Pharoah wins the 141st Kentucky Derby, all the way to the NFL draft, which is exciting time for a lot of us, where we saw another series of new players get their chance to pursue their dreams. And congrats to a young man from my hometown who I don't know, hometown in L.A., Lowell, Alabama, Jadarius Smith, who was a Kentucky player from the University of Kentucky who was drafted by Baltimore Ravens. So he's right into the city of things we talked about today. So congrats to him and his family. And, you know, after a series of talks and negotiations and breakdowns of talks, and finally the world got a chance to see that this generation's mega fight from Floyd Mayweather Jr. and Manny Pacquiao in Las Vegas last night, and where we see Floyd beats Pacquiao. And the fight went expected. He played defense and picked his spots, as you know. And, of course, there have been a lot of things on social media as we kind of go through. You know, all of these things, I want to try to tie this together in the pursuit of some dream of discovering some possibilities, either in technology, education, business, politics, society in general, discovering the beginning of a transformation, if it's from battery technology to a new career in football. Whether it's from Elon Musk, my daughter Kennedy, Baltimore Mayor Stephanie Rawlins Blake, or even Floyd Mayweather, the beginning of that transformation at some point in our societal ecosystem, and that metamorphosis or that permanent change of the landscape of situations or even the inner working mechanisms of how things operate, even to the series of events, the things that we can control and we can't control, each of these takes some boldness. The right attitude and intensity, as one of my former guests and former college teammates, Butch Wesley, always adamantly teaches. With all this excitement, with all these events, we must turn our eyes now to another series that's coming on tonight. And it's been on for the last few weeks, and it has its own level of intensity and beginning some level of transformation itself on television. As you probably know, Mark Burnett and Rumor Downey, if you remember her from Touched by an Angel and also the Bible series that came on last year on the History Channel. And if you watch any show that's popular on television, you know who Mark Burnett is, from Survivor to Apprentice, The Voice, The Sing-Off, Shark Tank, Are You Smart in the Fifth Grader, and a variety of other different elements. This husband and wife team has teamed up to do something the very thing to transform, in a sense, the landscape of TV with the new series, AD, The Bible Continues. It's an uplifting spiritual journey with the latest chapter of the biblical history. AD picks up where the smash hit miniseries, The Bible, left off, continue the greatest story ever told and explore an exciting inspirational event that followed the crucifixion of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The immediate aftermath of Christ's death had a massive impact on his disciples and his mother, Mary, his political and religious leaders of that era, and also it's really completely transformed the world in an instant. And so it's the beginning of that transformation where the Lord shifted some mechanisms, the inner working mechanisms of life and death, and beginning at the fateful moment of crucifixion and resurrection. AD, The Bible Continues, focus on those disciples who had to go forward, who had to go ye and spread the gospels to the world, and dominated by political unrest and the whole world of new religion, if you will, that would drastically reshape the course of history of the world. And so Mark Burnett and Roma Downey assembled a great cast of this 12-episode NBC event, series AD. It premiered on Easter Sunday back in April, and you may or may not recognize some of the cast members, but once you see the show, you'll never forget them, including our special guest today, Chipo Chung. When you watch her, you definitely won't forget her. She plays Mary Magdalene, one of Jesus' most faithful disciples and true leader, In her own series of events, though, Chipo had to uncover, she uncovers the truth about Mary Magdalene's, whose truth, or true story, has been shrouded or distorted in mystery or speculation. So it really leads to our question of the day, how to discover Mary Magdalene. We're honored to have Chipo here today helping us with that as our special guest. And she'll take us on that journey of how she discovered these things. And as a little bit about Chipo, she's an actress, director, social advocate for activists from Africa to Europe to the U.S. Chipo is a Chinese Zimbabwe based in London. Hopefully I got that right. She's a lover of Africa and the arts. And to her, quote, beautiful change that we can make to the world. And then that beautiful change, her work includes from not only just from the NBC, from AD, but also from Dr. Hugh and Sky Atlantis Fortitude. But she's also, her work is, she also is a co-founder of the charity Sponsored Arts for Education is SAFE, and now it sits on the Board of Trustees. Chipo is also volunteered as a representative for award-winning British charity Peace Direct and in support of Envision Zimbabwe Women's Trust. She also sits on the board of British Equity International Committee for Arts Freedom. It's ICAF. And so there's a lot of things we want to be able to talk with her today, and we're honored to have her. So after the break, we'll start our dialogue with our special guest, Chipo Chung, who will help us answer the question of the day, how discover Mary Magdalene. So during the break, stay with us, calls and asking the questions you may like. You can't afford to miss this, friends. We're taking calls. Our number is 310-861-2331. To ask a question or make a comment, press 1 on your telephone, and that raises your hand virtually. And our daughter Kennedy can bring you in, or even you can log into our live chat room and say what's on your mind and heart. She also can bring you in that way. We'd love to hear from you. So please call us at 310-861-2331. This is On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. We'll be right back.
How do you lead a people who are starved, who are broken, who are isolated?
You lead them where they are, by getting them on cue with God's will, by getting them on cue with His calling on their lives. Let us help you get on cue.
How powerful is your leadership? Do people trust you? Would people follow you if you were not their boss, not their parent, not their sibling, not their commanding officer? Let us help you get on the queue.
I learned more about the heart of leadership than the art of leadership. What Eric Powell does in this session is makes the leader in you come alive.
Do you know God has called you? Do you know your purpose? Let us help you get on cue.
It should be a mandatory part of every church pre-membership class, every school leadership program. I think this curriculum effectively used not only positions a person for better leadership, but positions a person for better life.
And we're back. Thanks for staying with us. You're listening to On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. Remember, our mission here is simple, friends, to help you leave where you are by getting on cue with God's will. So today's question, how to discover Mary Magdalene. Helping us with this, our special guest, Chipo Chong, who plays Mary Magdalene on the new hit TV series, AD, The Bible Continues. Chipo is a Chinese Zimbabwe actress based in London. She is a lover of Africa and the arts. And in her quote, if what she likes to do is look at the beautiful change we can make in this world. So let's give us a virtual round of applause. Chipo, welcome. Welcome.
Hi, Eric. Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you. I know it's a busy schedule, a busy time for you, and hopefully we'll really optimize our time we got with you, because I know you're on a whirlwind tour around the series right now.
Yeah, and it's really exciting because just in another couple of hours, we've got episode 5 coming up, and I've got to watch it.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And we're going to make sure we're all in front of television to do that. So with that, why don't we just jump right in? So, Chipo, we always try to give our audience a view into our guest. And with the, you know, the same two questions at the beginning of our show, it kind of gives us a view under the hood, if you will, for lack of better analogy, of who we're talking with. So first question, Chipo, is what is the one word that describes you?
Well, I picked a funny answer, Eric. I came up with the answer, an other. I've always been an other. I grew up as a mixed-race child, a minority in a Chinese community in a black African country. So I was always different from everyone else.
Wow.
And I'm here in the States now. And again, I'm often a stranger, so someone from another land. But at the same time, I'm a very multicultural person. I've traveled all over the world. And I guess my journey is discovering the oneness of the fact that we're all one people, essentially.
Amen. I love that, and it's a very unique and great answer. I can definitely say it describes you really, really well. And I think some people may steal that one that one word is listening, right?
So it is an interesting word.
Mm. Yeah, it is. It is, and it forces you. Sometimes I get, Eric, can I give you two? I said, no, just give me one. And it forces you to kind of narrow that down. So I'm glad you were able to do that. The second question, this may be trivial, but if money was no issue, what would you do every day?
Well, I guess on the simplest level, I would do what most people would do, which is spend more valuable and meaningful time with my family. I think that is what I would do if I had, if I didn't have any stresses of money. Actually, in my life, I've chosen my hobby to be my profession. Acting was always my first love and what I love to spend my time doing. And it is an absolute gift to be able to do it. It's like playing dress up and living out, you know, it's like being a child. But my hobby, therefore my professional life, has been doing a lot more boring grunt work, administration, advocacy, fundraising for organizations that need my help and which I can afford to give my time, energy, and intelligence to. So really my job has been my hobby, and my hobby has been much more like most people's work.
Well, great. Yeah, you know, it gets to that point where you really can just follow your life's passion and purpose. It's nothing like being in that space, and you're not torn from two different worlds. So I definitely understand that, right? You know, so let's talk a little bit about you you talked about from a personal perspective, and give us a little bit more about professionally as a director and actor, you know, where'd you start, some of the things you've done, and just kind of take us through the mini life journey of Chipo Chong.
Well, it's an amazing thing that the world is so big and yet it's so small. I grew up in Africa, in Zimbabwe, which is many, many thousands of miles away from Los Angeles, where I am right now. I grew up watching a lot of American television. I loved movies. And at the same time as that, I lived in a developing country where all around you were people who were struggling to get an education, to get a job, to get food on their tables. And I had a middle-class upbringing and knew what privilege I was being raised in. I had the privilege of leaving my country, being able to come here to the States. I went to Yale for undergraduate. And then I went on to London, to the Royal Academy of Dramatic Art, which is one of the oldest drama schools in the world. It's the drama school that John Gielgud and Vivian Leigh and Kenneth Branagh and a lot of Shakespearean British kinds of actors went to. And I had a bit of Anglophilia because I came from a colonial country. I loved Shakespeare. I loved Jane Austen. And that's what I wanted, was to be in the Royal Shakespeare Company. So I went to London and had this most remarkable training out there. And then when I was in my last year of school, I came across a group. It was a little video made by a theater group in Kenya. And it was about wearing your boots on the football field. And it was actually about using condoms because in Africa at that time, in the 90s, and still today, but in the 90s and into the early 2000s, HIV was really on a rampage. One in four people were infected in many African countries. When I was growing up in Zimbabwe, I knew many people around me who died of HIV. And I saw this little video, and I was so moved by these actors because they were really professional. They were super talented. It was a very entertaining little piece, but as opposed to following their talents in order to be famous or to make money, they were doing it to save lives in their communities because people were dying because they didn't have enough information. And I guess it was a balance for me. I remember the founder of the organization asking me, why do you want to do this? Why do you want to give your time to our organization? And I remember at the time saying it came from a sense of guilt, you know, guilt that I led such a privileged life and was able to fulfill my talents while other people were suffering and other people were dying. And I remember him at the time saying to me, I didn't think anything good comes out of guilt. I had a Catholic upbringing, and I must admit that there is, I think, a level of guilt that comes with the process of listing your sins and confessing, etc.
Right.
But I think that guilt is an important first step to consciousness, which is recognizing the balance of things in the world, recognizing how your actions affect other people. I think it's an important step towards having compassion, you know, considering how other people feel or what other people experience. And that started me on my journey as an activist because I was involved with Safe Kenya and gave a lot of my time to fundraising for them and advocating for them and helping them really become a substantial organization. And I still work with them as well as a number of other groups. So that set off my activist work, and at the same time as that, I was starting out in the theatre in London and in television there, and really the two sides of me as an activist and as an actor have developed simultaneously.
Right, and both following a passion of yours, something that you love doing, and to your point that. The beautiful change we can make to the world, right? That's both of those do that for you, right?
Yes, absolutely. And I feel very blessed to have landed up working with Mark Burnett and Roma Downey because actually they follow a similar philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
They both work in the business. They're both in entertainment. They've been around the block in Hollywood for a while. But they see that entertainment should always be entertaining. It should always have high production value and catch the audience with drama and just be enjoyable in and of itself. But they also do a lot of work to work with communities, to work with various pastors and church groups, that they really are offering a gift and a service to people of faith and to people who are ministering to people of faith, because the series has a curriculum that goes with it for ministries. And as you follow the series week by week, you can follow the Bible. And that's not dissimilar from what SAFE does. SAFE puts on high-quality dramas, street theater, that's free for impoverished communities in Africa. We get a crowd of 1,000 or 2,000 people drummed up by these drummers, go around the villages, making up a, you know, sort of carnival atmosphere. Everyone comes around to the stage and PA system, and we start a play. And the point of the play is always that the protagonist or a hero is HIV positive, and the audience has to learn to love them. So they go through the trials and tribulations with our hero, and at the same time learn about the treatment and attention that is available to them in the health services. And at the end of the play, doctors and nurses come up on stage and explain to the communities that they can get tested for HIV and that if they are positive, there is treatment available to them. And that's the big difference between 15 years ago and now for these communities. 15 years ago, HIV was a life sentence.
Yes.
Because there was nothing that could be done about it for those impoverished communities. And as you know, in this country, getting antiretroviral treatment was horrendously expensive. But South Africa and Kenya were two of the first countries that provided free antiretroviral treatment, which meant that if you were HIV positive and your CD4 count was so low, you could go on ARVs. Well, you have to actually sustain going on antiretroviral treatment for life. But once you go on them and you keep a balanced diet, it is not a death sentence, and people didn't know this. And this is really, it was painful that people would not go to a hospital because they saw it as a house of death. And what SAFE was doing was through theater, through laughter, through compassion, through hope, through community, they were forming a bridge between the community and the health services. So it's entertainment, it's entertaining, it's funny, but it's teaching you lessons that could save your life and also save your soul, because it is about compassion. In those communities, there are people who are committing suicide because of the stigma attached to being HIV positive. And so part of what the plays were doing, as well as telling people the technicalities to do with the health service provision, was also saying it's not their fault, you know, that one should have compassion if your brother or your sister or your mother contracts HIV, and it would be a crying shame if years later you discovered that you couldn't catch it by touching a person. You know, this is the kind of the level of fear and ignorance that there was about the disease, and that our work was trying to break down and transform.
Well, there's so many nuggets on that. I could really probably go the rest of the show with it because but what you if I pick up, there's faith, there's learning, there's love, there's surrendering, there's hope,
mm-hmm.
there's family. And that model, that toolkit for using SAFE is having the entertainment value of telling a story. It's really telling
mm-hmm.
allowing them to discover some of the issues and also face their own realities or face any guilt or shame associated with that. And but mm-hmm. if you take that model, just change the subject and, you know, just take it to a place like Ferguson or Baltimore, whatever
mm-hmm.
the issue is, you can put the same type structure. I know it's not to that dimension, but ultimately it's just a tool. It's another toolkit to really bring people to a point where there is faith involved in all their circumstances. Did I'm hearing that right?
Absolutely. I think that's absolutely right.
Wow,
it's amazing. It's so important to be able to see your own experience and to be able to talk about it. I think theater and entertainment and storytelling is so great for creating the dialogue, because when there is no dialogue, then I think people get angry, and they either can be, like in the case of these people who are HIV positive, become violent towards themselves.
Sure.
Or become violent to within their communities, as was the case in Baltimore these last weeks, when there didn't seem to be a space for listening to the community's frustrations.
Right, and there is growth in that suffering. that's the other part of it too, right? That you also have to, you also, it may not say it directly, but there is growth in that. And as you, in a sense, for lack of a better term, they also can share that. But you build, it's community building. It's using the tools on the solve problem. I love that. Sharing with that, you know, which is also related to just another toolkit of what Mark Burnett and Roma is doing with the AD series. As to your point, where you guys were somewhat on cue, allow me to use that for the common ground with the entertainment piece. The shared vision, in a sense, was around high value work and building, working with the community, and then really just offering a way to serve from Equally Yoked perspective. So that's essentially what this series is trying to do as well. Would you agree?
Yeah, I mean, top line, it's great drama.
Right.
It's got the most amazing, I mean, I've been working in Morocco for the last 6 months, the most amazing sets, the most amazing, the costume team, the makeup team, and a fantastic, fantastic crew of actors who are now all my very, very close friends. But Mark and Roma, they really get that sort of two-pronged, that you've got a great story that's good for everyone, people follow the fate, and people who don't. I think if you don't follow the fate, you'll still have a very entertaining evening watching the show. But I'm impressed by them that that's underpinned by a community-building, educational element, and allowing people to talk about something that's important in their lives and allowing them to see that reflected in their mainstream culture. I think
sure.
That's a wonderful service they're doing.
It is a wonderful thing. Right now, you've done the fifth, comes on tonight. How is it changing the landscape in television, if you can share that with us right now? How people are seeing and talking about?
Well, I on the one hand, these biblical dramas, they're very old school Hollywood, you know.
Right.
The Ten Commandments and all those old movies from the like 50s and 60s. In fact, we're shooting in some of those.
From Ben-Hur to Moses to, yes.
Exactly, and they're also making a Ben-Hur film. So it is very old school, but at the same time, I do think Mark Burnett and Roma Downey, they've really made it very new school, as in when the Bible came out, I don't think that story had been seen or recreated on television in like 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
I think it is creating, for me, it's a kind of magical realism, because it's going for this gritty first century world, which we don't see. We never see that on television. But at the same time, it's got angels. it's got magic that happens to it. There are resurrections that take place. And it is a different kind of magic. You know, you have sci-fi and you have fantasy, but this kind of spiritual magic, I don't think we've seen on television before. And shooting it has certainly transformed me. I mean, there have been scenes that we shot that just the images that I saw, they were so archetypal. And that is why it is the greatest story ever told. That's why these stories have survived thousands and thousands of years, is they really speak to the archetypes, speak to our souls. The very idea of resurrection, and the fact that we have resurrections throughout our lives. You know, moments when our old selves die and are reborn and are renewed. It's taught me a lot.
Taught you a lot. So not to dig in too personal, if you will, but you talked about there have been some moments, and how has it, if you will, has it shaped or how's it impacted your faith going through this experience?
Well, I've been living out in the desert for 6 months, and it's a small town. We're not living in tents, but it's a small town in the middle of the desert. Some of the actors, you know, we're mainly from London, and some of the actors find it a bit difficult to be away from, you know, the hustle and bustle. There aren't very many bars. There are no other people to hang out with. It's just honest with you. But I loved it. I love being surrounded by mountains. I love Africa. I'm from Africa, so I love the people. There's a sort of warmth to people in developing countries. But there was also a lot of space to contemplate. And here we are with this remarkable and curious material, and with me at the myth of Mary Magdalene, and what does that mean? So I've had a lot of time to contemplate and meditate on these chapters of the Bible, and yes, I think the one thing I've learned about Mary Magdalene, she appears at key points in the Bible, and the most key points are that she was there at the crucifixion. She was there at the deposition of the body. She was there at the burial, and she was there 2 days later on Easter Sunday morning and was the first witness of Jesus' resurrection. Those are the most key points in Jesus' life, really, the most excruciating, the most painful, the most filled with despair. And at that time, as you see when on our first episode, all of the disciples are running scared and hiding. Peter has denied Jesus 3 times. But Mary and the mother of Mary and John the Beloved, who's played by the wonderful actor Babu Cisse, they hold their ground and they are witnesses. And when the other disciples have doubts and feel they should flee from Jerusalem, Mary holds fast and she's at the tomb on Sunday morning. That episode, you know, that chapter of events, I've really had to think about, and it has affected me, because I think the lesson there for me was that she was a witness, and by that I don't mean an eyewitness account. I mean that while Jesus was suffering most excruciating pain, he says those words, my God, why have you abandoned me? But she has not abandoned him. She is there. She is witnessing it. And I was determined when we were doing those scenes that I didn't want to flinch. I didn't want to look away. I wanted to keep looking because I think that's what she was there to do, to let him know there was someone out there who was with him. And that witnessing of another person's suffering, that being present and not running away, I think we experience that every day in our lives, in the conflicts we have with people, when we get angry with our wives or our friends or someone, you know, makes us want to bolt or avoid the situation, whereas to be fully present, to have full compassion for another person's suffering, to stay with them through it, to sit with them, I think that has been the lesson to me of witness. And for me, that's why I think she was rewarded. She's rewarded as the first disciple to witness his resurrection, to see him in his full form, rehabilitated, and in his all of his godliness. And as they say, there's a bit of the Beatitudes. That was another phrase that was always going through my head on set. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. And that really speaks to me of Mary Magdalene. Blessed are the pure of heart, for they shall see God. And she had the courage and the purity to stick with him, and she saw God. That was the balance that I've learned from that. But I take that into my personal life, you know.
Wow, great. Thank you for sharing that. You have shifted some things for me for the rest of the show, really. So what we're going to do is take a quick break, and we're speaking with Chipo Chung. She is she's our special guest today. She plays Mary Magdalene on the new TV hit series, AD, The Bible Continues. So after the break, we'll continue our dialogue. Feel free to call us at 310-861-2331 to ask us a question or ask Chipo a question about her experience. And this is On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. We'll be right back.
How do you lead a people who are starved, who are broken, who are isolated.
We lead them where they are by getting them on cue with God's will, by getting them on cue with His calling on their lives. Let us help you get on cue.
Powerful is your leadership. Do people trust you? Would people follow you if you were not their boss, not their parent, not their sibling, not their commanding officer? Let us help you get on the queue.
I learned more about art of leadership than the art of leadership. What Eric Powell does in this session is makes the leader in you come alive.
Do you know God has called you? Do you know your purpose? Let us help you get on cue.
It should be a mandatory part of every church pre-membership class, every school leadership program. I think this curriculum effectively used not only positions a person for better leadership, but positions a person for better life.
And we're back. Thanks for staying with us. You're listening to On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. Remember, our mission here is simple, friends. Help you lead where you are by getting on cue with God's will. Today's question of the day is how to discover Mary Magdalene. Helping us with that is our special guest, Chipo Chung, who plays Mary Magdalene on the new hit TV series, AD, The Bible Continues. She is a Chinese Zimbabwe born actress living in London. Make sure I get that right. She's also a lover of Africa and arts. And as you've heard from her from the prior segment, she really lives out this meaning of beautiful change we can make in the world. If you've heard of Chipo, thanks for staying with us.
Thanks, Eric. It's good to be here.
Absolutely.
Good way to spend our Sunday.
It surely is, and I know, of course, again, thank you for such a busy schedule, I'm sure. You know, before the break, we started talking about your role for Mary Magdalene, and it was another one of those moments to where we probably could have made a whole show on it, even probably ended the show, because ultimately you gave the answer after you discovered that. But it is, in a sense, you know, in that role, you play her one of Jesus' most faithful disciples, and in my mind, a true leader, and how he's portrayed on film. And when you hear the name, though, when many people hear the name, may have different words or different thoughts. And there's been a lot of mystery and speculation around who truly Mary Magdalene was. Can you help us? How did you go through that process, not only just to look at the mystery, but dispel some of that speculation as well?
Absolutely. That was the thing. When I first got the part, everyone kept saying to me, that's such a great part. It's a great part. And I very quickly realized I didn't know if they knew what they were talking about, because I didn't know what I was talking about, because I thought that she was a prostitute. This was my first impression of her. I think that's because for thousands of years in art, she was portrayed as this fallen woman. There is I think from the Renaissance, I love Italian art, and all of those stories are of this fallen woman who was guilty of the seven deadly sins who Jesus transformed. But when I went back to the Bible and started reading up on it, this is not true. This is a mythology that's arisen around her, but there's no basis for that at all in the Bible. As I said to you before, the references in the Bible have to do with the crucifixion and the resurrection. There is one description of her that she was possessed of seven demons and Jesus healed her of them. And another chapter of the Bible which describes that Mary Magdalene and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, who was the head of Herod's household, and a number of the women supported the disciples from their own means, which meant that they were giving money or they were giving some sort of provision to the guys who were going out and preaching. Those are the references in the Bible. It says nothing about her being a prostitute. So I had to dig and find out, where did this come from? And it turns out it was Pope Gregory I, in the 4th century, who conflated many various stories about women in the Bible and the New Testament, and said, this woman who was a prostitute, this woman who washed his feet, and the seven demons must be the seven deadly sins, and this is Mary Magdalene. So the story is of a fallen woman who is transformed and therefore is repentant. She is a penitent. So in many images of her, she is dressed in sort of shag furs and seen as someone who is an aesthete who goes into the mountains and whips herself to whip out the sins of her past. Right. I found it very disturbing that this woman who was evidently, from our references in the Bible, a provider, a patron of the disciples, perhaps one of the most important disciples because Jesus chose her as a witness, should be played out in this way. And then as time has progressed, the Magdalene has been referred to in Irish Catholicism. There were these orders in which young women who had children out of wedlock were known as Magdalene sisters and were taken into convents and their children were taken away from them. There was that wonderful movie, Philomena, that came out a couple of years ago with Judi Dench, which was about these convents in Ireland. But the whole basis, again, of that mythology was of women who had been sexually lewd and had sex out of marriage and who had to repent. And that's what Mary Magdalene has been known for many, many, many centuries. Totally untrue. Why is that? I think at that time in the first century, it was a very patriarchal society. There's no doubt about that. And women didn't have very much power. For me, I think Jesus was always a supporter of the poor, the oppressed, the meek. As far as I am concerned, he really was a womanist in that he did support the woman who was going to be stoned for adultery, and he listened to women and had women friends. And by the fact that he presented himself in his resurrected form to a woman at a time when the rabbis were only men, I think he was saying something quite revolutionary, which is that from his perspective, from God's perspective, women are as spiritually capable as men. We are all equal in the eyes of God. Our gender really doesn't matter. And I think he was obviously way ahead of his time. But man we have our foibles, and I don't think the patriarchy was able to compute that a woman could be involved in leadership without her sexuality being called into question. And I think that's something that happens even today. It's either that, you know, she slept her way to the top, or that she's the wife of or the girlfriend of someone. A woman's power is always seen in relation to men, whereas my view of Mary Magdalene is in and of herself, due to her character and due to her actions, she was powerful enough to stand through Jesus' crucifixion and to be the first witness of his resurrection. So that's the conclusion I came to.
So I want you to play something back. You just made a point. I want to make sure we don't miss it. You said that women's power was defined in relation to men.
Absolutely. Always.
Can you just expand on it just a second?
That is because the other myth of Mary Magdalene is the Holy Blood, Holy Grail mythology, which the Da Vinci Code popularized, which I read on, of course, and I appreciate the feminist perspective. She's a much more powerful character in that mythology. But the idea is that she was his wife or his lover. And again, I sat with that and I thought, why do we have to reduce her to that? I think she was a spiritual disciple and may have been, a spiritual partner, a spiritual communion, but to reduce it to she must have been his wife, that's why she was important, I think, again, is undermining who she was.
Yeah, and also the indirect way of trying to reduce him as well.
Indeed.
Absolutely.
Because these were these are deeply spiritual people charting a spiritual path. I don't think there's a reason to deny sexuality for us, but we're talking about people who were starting a spiritual practice and a spiritual base.
So with that, we got some calls on the line before we take one. I want to ask one more quick question along the way.
Mm-hmm.
I have two daughters, and this mm-hmm. this piece is very important to me of raising young women as leaders, if you will. And
mm-hmm.
What should young women know about Mary Magdalene, the leader, and what made her different?
What made her different? Her courage. I think that's the main thing, is that she was courageous. And I think it takes courage to work with men. I've been out in Morocco where most of the actors are men, and I know that it takes courage to have your voice heard in the circle of masculinity, and she did do that at a time that was so much more oppressive for women. Compassion, as I was saying before, there is a power in witness and in staying with people through their grief. And as you see the character in AD, the Bible continues, one of the things, her character traits, she always speaks truth to power. She's an extremely honest person, and she will always tell it like it is. So owning your truth and holding your truth and speaking your truth,
wow.
That's what I'd say to your daughters.
That's powerful. So courage, have your voice, Kennedy, compassion, power to witness, and other C's character. Always speak truth. Speak truth to the power. I love that. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that, Tebow. We are coming up on a break, but I think we got a few calls on the line. I think someone has a comment, want to ask you a question. And so you are on cue. Share your name and where you're from.
I'm Gladys, and I'm from Alabama. And
hello, welcome, Gladys.
I think I have two questions. The first one is, based on your perception of her beforehand and after you've played the role, did it change any? And if it did, what was it? And did your conviction of Jesus change any after you've played this role?
Yes. Definitely my understanding of Mary Magdalene's completely changed before and after, because I was just, just like everyone else.
Yeah. Yeah.
I believed in the mythology, but now that I've spent time reading about it and also contemplating on it, I feel she's a voice she was. My gut says from the bits of the Bible about her that she was extremely important at that time, and somehow through the hundreds of years of history, her voice has disappeared. And there's been the slander, but we just haven't heard her voice. And it's given me. I think that's what we experience as women. Often the work that we do is quite invisible. You know, the work that mothers do in families often goes uncredited, or the work that women do in organizations, having worked in many organizations, often it's a man who's the CEO and does all the talking, but there are women who stand behind him and bind the community together and make things flow and make things happen. Yeah. And I think she was one of those women, and so I'm really feel privileged to have the opportunity to show who she could have been and how she was quietly, you know, leadership sometimes is at the front, like the CEOs or like Peters, the guy who's preaching. And a lot of the time, those leaders at the front, they wouldn't be successful without the leaders at the back. The leaders were pushing things on from behind. And that's what I think she was always doing.
Okay.
Your second question was, about my relationship with Jesus.
Yes. And did that change your...
I love Jesus. I have always loved Jesus. And it has just been... It's just been a pleasure and a treat to have the time to really... It's just been a spiritual time to have the time to contemplate these stories. And the scene I did, it's episode 2, is the resurrection scene. I had the most amazing moment when I'm at the tomb and I'm weeping because he's gone. And although I hope that he will return, I have no guarantee of that. So there's a level of despair. And when I turned around and saw Juan Pablo de Pache, who was playing Jesus, and the light behind him, I was completely cut up. I burst into tears, but it was tears of joy. And I think that's something that having had friends who passed away myself, you know, I have been that person. We've all been that person and wondered how our friends are on the other side. And it was real magic moment for me, as I know I'm an actress. But it was an amazing moment for me to witness that resurrection, and it's given me, you know, it's given me encouragement in life.
Wow.
Well, thank you, and I've enjoyed seeing you. May God continue to give you those roles where you can make a difference for women, and I appreciate you. Thank you,
Thank you so much for that. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Gladys. Thank you, Chief O. Great, great answer. Take a quick break, and we're gonna come back with Chief O. Chung, who is the plays the role of Mary Magdalene in the new hit TV series AD, The Bible Continues. She's been a treat so far, I know, and we're gonna bring her back for a few more questions. And you're listening to On Cue, and your host Eric Powell will be right back.
Where they are by getting them on cue with God's will, by getting them on cue with His calling on their lives. Let us help you get on cue.
How powerful is your leadership? Do people trust you? Would people follow you if you were not their boss, not their parent, not their sibling, not their commanding officer? Let us help you get on the queue.
I learned more about the heart of leadership than the arch of leadership. What Eric Powell does in this session is makes the leader in you come alive.
Do you know God has called you? Do you know your purpose? Let us help you get on cue.
It should be a mandatory part of every church pre-membership class, every school leadership program. I think this curriculum effectively used not only positions a person for better leadership, but positions a person for better life.
And we're back. Thanks for staying with us. So you're listening to On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. Remember our mission here, Simple Friends, by helping you leave where you are by getting you on cue with God's will. So today's question is how to discover Mary Magdalene. Helping us with that is our special guest, Chipo Chung, who plays Mary Magdalene on the new hit TV series, AD, The Bible Continues. Chipo, thanks for staying with us. You've been such a great delight, and I really appreciate you being open and honest and all your answers along the way.
Thanks, Eric. It's nice to have the opportunity to talk because I have had 6 months to think about it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, thank you. I know there's a lot more we could pull out of you, and I'm gonna try my best not to do that because we got to talk about the new episode as much as we can that's coming on tonight, and it begins this is episode 5, right? And essentially, the change is happening, right? The change is happening. Can you talk about that?
For me, really, the show begins in episode 4. You know, we start episode 1 with and then go on to the resurrection in the second episode. In the third episode, the disciples gain courage because they go through the experience of Pentecost, which is the Holy Spirit coming down upon them. And after that, they may have self-doubt, but they certainly don't have doubt in God. And then in episode 4, which was last week's episode, it's called The Wrath. And Pilate comes down heavy because there has been a murder of a Roman officer in the temple. So he wants the guilty party to come forward, and obviously the guilty party is of the community, and the community is not giving him up. So he says he will crucify 10 Jewish people every day until the assassin is brought forward. That was the last episode. And that's one of the things that Mark Burnett and Roma Downey have done really well in the series, which I didn't know before. I didn't realize how brutal the world of the Romans was. Jesus was crucified, but there were thousands of other people who were crucified. There was one incident a few decades before Jesus' crucifixion where 5,000 Jewish people were crucified. I mean, it was an awfully oppressive time.
Wow.
So this episode, you'll see Peter and the disciples. We started a camp outside of the city, which in many ways is a refugee camp for people who are terrified of all the instability that's going on in Jerusalem. And things I don't want to give away any spoilers, but things come to a head. What I've been contemplating this week, what this story is about, AD, The Bible Continues, if you have Peter and the disciples, Jesus' followers, who are pursuing a spiritual path that is of hope and of love and of communion and of community, and there are some magic and miracles and God's work involved in that. And then there is another group who are the zealots, and they are very active in the community and are pursuing
pursuing a more violent protest. They are oppressed by the Romans who are foreigners. There's a kind of apartheid, a colonial system, and the Zealots believe in armed struggle, essentially. And that line between nonviolent resistance and armed struggle, I think that story, that is the story of social change. I'm very interested in social change, I think because I was born in Zimbabwe at a time when my country was going through its independence struggle. I was born during a war in which my people had taken arms to fight against a settler colonial regime and chose armed struggle. And now I come from Zimbabwe 30 years later. We're still pretty stuck as a country. And for me, I do think that it's a violent mindset that set us off. That our government has taken on some of that violence of the state that was there before. And I think violence begets violence. Other people like Gandhi took a different route, which was nonviolent. Martin Luther King preached nonviolence. Archbishop Desmond Tutu and the Truth and Reconciliation Commission in South Africa were similarly, you know, there were a lot of angry people in South Africa and a lot of people wanted revenge. And Archbishop Tutu went for peace, reconciliation, truth, honesty, forgiveness. And I think what you'll see in this episode coming up is that age-old struggle between nonviolent resistance, peaceful protest, and violence that can land up, which can have the same political root, but can land up in bloodshed. And of course, with what was going on this last week in Baltimore, and seeing that struggle within civil society or within communities between those who wanted to have peaceful demonstrations and those who were frustrated and felt that only through violence would they be heard. It's a similar story, and I see a real resonance in this next episode of Andy, The Bible Continues.
Well, thanks for that. You're so right. The balance between nonviolence and peaceful protest, and I like to comment, is the cusp of social change. And you just pick a century, a generation of fight of oppression.
Yeah.
That's still there. That those two elements.
Where
you want to fall from.
Absolutely. And that's what amazes me about the birth of the Christian church. That's what has amazed me about doing this series, was I just didn't get it before. I knew the Bible, but I just didn't get the violence of the state they were living in, that the Romans were that cruel and oppressive, and they were foreigners as well, you know, that they were under this colonial state, and that out of such violence, it's amazing, it's remarkable, can come a religion based on love and forgiveness, turn the other cheek. it's remarkable. It's really remarkable.
I heard a pastor friend of mine tell this define meek. He said a velvet covered steel, velvet covered iron. That's what he called it. so you're right. You're right. It took people, to your point about leaders, about courage, compassion, and character to stand a post during that time. And it's amazing to see that being portrayed and is read, of course, throughout the word itself. A couple more questions before we let you go. I have some questions on leadership on Pilate, but you hit that because ultimately he was trying to, he was balancing politician, diplomat, general, and so he went, whenever times got tough, he went to what he knew was true, was the basically being cruel, what Romans were at that point. I think you really brought that to bear. You know, we can't really leave without, I guess, talking about Peter just a little bit, even to say his name in this, because much of this in the being the rock of the church, it was founded around him. I always look at each episode and I try to find a quote or one of the characters that just sticks with me. Then the moment where Peter was on the roof with Maya ago,
the
statement, he said, "I'm afraid I'm not the person Jesus thought I was." To me, that was so powerful. And I wrote a little piece, Something Wrong, and there was something right about that statement. and at both parts it was true in a lot of different ways. But then I wanted to kind of give you time to talk about the quote that I heard from you, and I don't have to spoil it because I saw it posted on the ADD series, the Bible Continues website. I said, well, I guess they know Mary Magdalene is going to say this, so I'm going to ask you about it now.
What was the quote?
As you know, NBC Universal sent me the episode prior, so I watched it a couple of days ago. But your quote about the word is spreading like wildfire, like
yes.
the spirit itself.
Yes.
That one stuck with me.
Yes. No, I really appreciate Adam Levy's performance of Peter, and he struggles, and I think that's what you see in these episodes, that he struggles with being the leader, because unlike you'll see in this episode as well is Stephen, who becomes the first martyr of the church, and Stephen is very educated, he's very intellectual. Saul, who also begins to appear in the next episode, also very smart. These guys knew the Old Testament inside out and could spark an intellectual debate. But Peter was a fisherman. He was illiterate, essentially, and yet he was the one who was to lead the church. And I think Adam Levy plays that so beautifully, his self-doubt. When we are called and we want to bring all we have, but we don't believe that all we have is good enough, especially when it is for such a massive mission. I think what comes across with all of the disciples as the series goes is they have faith, but they also have doubts about themselves. And I think that is true of people of faith. You know, having faith is not having blind faith, and having faith is not being completely invincible. We have to work to ground our faith, to restore our faith every day through our actions. Whereas what Mary Magdalene is saying is there are times which are wonderful when she says we're spreading like a fire, like the spirit itself. There are times when we're in that flow, and as a leader or as an organization or as a social movement, when things just seem to have a life of their own and there is a oneness. I'm a big believer in synchronicity and serendipity, and seeing when things just seem to connect. And I guess that's what you keep saying. You keep talking about surrendering, and I guess that's it. That we often torture ourselves, as Peter does with his self doubts, and have that internal conflict. Whereas when we surrender to the Spirit, or to communion, or to the flow of God's work or the universe, then things have a life of their own, and I suppose the change that wants to come about can come about through us instead of us pushing at it with all our might and hurting our backs.
Right, like we often do. Like we often do. You're so right. You know, I almost... piece in there, you just hit on the point that it was how it came out so beautifully in this episode of the fact that Peter was illiterate, and when he was sitting with Stephen, I won't spoil that, but when he
yeah.
said one point, so wow, he was illiterate. He's moved completely by the Spirit. Lord is leading his words and so forth because he couldn't read. it was amazing how that came about, so I won't spoil it for us tonight, but it was amazing part of the episode.
Yeah. No, it's a great episode coming up, and Reese Ritchie, who plays Stephen, I'm also very moved by that character because we know that character. He's that young kid out of college, or he's a teenager who's really bright, really smart, really angry, and wants to speak truth to power, and is actually, you know, he has that truth of a child, but it's a wicked world, and it's heartbreaking what happens to him.
Absolutely. And last point I make before I ask you some parting questions, I realized in that episode why Saul, they had to kill him first, because of the fact that he knew the word inside and out. It was a way of killing the movement, in a sense, because they knew they needed that element at some
point. Absolutely. Yeah.
Not understanding the word was more than just on that pen and paper, but the Spirit lives
yeah.
throughout. It was amazing. So, Chief, I'm flies. I wish we had more time, and I know you don't, but hopefully you'll come back and join us at later on in episodes or even on your shows that you have. Before we go.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to see tonight's episode. And for those of you who love Mary Magdalene, her story gets really interesting as the episodes go on. I'd love to get some feedback on that.
That's great. We'll definitely do that. So how do we support you? How do we find you? Website, Facebook, those type of things. How do we get connected to Chief Ojum?
Well, I think the best thing is I'm best at Facebook. So please like my page, Chief Ojum. And as far as my charity work is concerned, if I have any fundraisers or events or things that I'd love people to support, it will be through Facebook that I will let you know. So
okay,
please
great.
Do follow me there.
Great. And last question, as we always want to have a part, is what can we be in prayer with you about, Chief Ojum?
Well, you know, one of the things that upsets me that will have me in tears more than anything is the idea of children being hurt, harmed, or killed. And I am into Facebook and came across a video this week of a child in Syria who was being rescued under some rubble by a group of men. And the group of men were amazing. And there's this child. They were literally digging through stones, and they come across a body, and it's a baby's body, and they start getting hysterical to this group of men who are on this rescue mission, but the baby is alive, and they work hysterically trying to get it out, and they manage to in the end. This image, which I found on Facebook, on YouTube, it's had me upset all week. Because there are wars going on at the moment all over the world, and the people who are most affected are children, and it's so wrong. And so if there was anything that you would join me in prayer and to encourage me with strength about, it's those children who are made vulnerable by war.
Amen. So we virtually agree on that. We're going to all our audience to reach out and be in prayer. People, as she continues to be strengthened and encouraged, again, it's where her heart sits. It's where she's ultimately always by making change, a great change for the world. So, Chief Ojum, thank you. Thank you very much. You've been
thanks, Eric.
And, I appreciate your time, and we hope to have you back soon. If you've got anything on your heart and mind, just if you want to come back, just come back. Well, I got a topic for you, Eric. I'm going to be open to that as well.
Thanks so much, Eric. It's been lovely having this dialogue with you.
It is a pleasure. Thank you. So, ladies and gentlemen, friends, that was Chief Ojum. She is an actress, director, Chinese and Zimbabwe, and lives in London, lover of Africa and arts. And her motto, as you've heard her, it's about beautiful change we can make in the world. And she's heavily involved in all sorts of projects, not only just SAFE, that's dealing with HIV and AIDS in Africa, but also a variety of different other charities. And so if you get an opportunity, go like her page, Chief Ojum, on Facebook. And wonderful, wonderful spirit, as we've heard. So we're going to take a quick break. And we'll come back with a close out with if any more questions and so forth, and a few announcements as well. This is On Cue. Your host, Eric Powell, will be right back.
Do you know God has called you? Do you know your purpose? Let us help you get on cue.
Leave them where they are by getting them on cue for God's will, by getting them on cue with His calling on their lives. Let us help you get on cue.
Full is your leadership. Do people trust you? Would people follow you if you were not their boss, not their parent, not their sibling, not their commanding officer? Let us help you get on cue.
And we're back. Thanks for staying with us. You're listening to On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. Remember, our mission here is simple, friends, to help you lead where you are by getting your on cue with God's will, His purpose, His calling on your life. Today's question was how to discover Mary Magdalene. Helping us with that was our special guest, was Chipo Chong, who plays Mary Magdalene on the new hit TV series AD, The Bible Continues. And if you get a chance to hear the whole show, please go back. Very delightful, very great perspectives as Chipo walked through her journey of discovering Mary Magdalene and also answering a great question of how she considered Mary Magdalene before and after, and also how her convictions for Jesus changed through that process. And phenomenal lady and leader in so many different ways. And as we see these things, you know, God's always seeking us, as we always know. And if it's on television, it's on the corner, principal's office, Senate chamber, the Oval Office, House Chamber, ISIS Camp, Syria, Rubble, Ferguson, Baltimore. You know, following Christ is more than just putting on our Sunday's best and going to church and doing praise and worship and then ultimately turning it off, the switch off, and going home. But Lord's asking us, as He asked Peter and the disciples, to go ye. Exactly what He told them to do in His departure, to go out and make more. And we always end our prayer at the end of our show, at the beginning of our show, by asking the Lord to use Q to raise some transformational leaders and some gatekeepers in His name. As we know in this series, Peter is ultimately a transformational leader. And in this series, putting this together, that's Mark Burnett and Roma Downey is those individuals leading this transformation. And in gatekeepers in that is Mary Magdalene and individuals like Chipo, who are standing a post in the midst of a transformation and need people like a Peter, as Peter did for the church, and as well as Mark and Roma. This is foundational. This show is foundational going to the world. And if you're leading that transformation, if you're not leading that transformation, what should we do? We need to protect what is being built, what is being changed, what has been transformed, what has been sacred, especially if it's done in the Lord's name. We need to build some gatekeepers like the Mary Magdalene, like the Chipos of the world, to stand a post, and as you talked about, courage, to have your own voice, stand a post in compassion, the power to witness as Mary Magdalene did, and also stand a post in character, always speaking the truth, the power that's in Jesus Christ. And as we know, our ministry is built around Nehemiah and reinforced by the gospel. Nehemiah did the same thing when he closed the walls of the gates. He put his brother Hananiah of the commander of Citadel in charge of Jerusalem. And he put them, stood a post at the gaps, and they kept watch at the gates, prepared more gatekeepers to stand a post, if it's for walls, homes, business, and so forth, of what God had rebuilt. In that transformational change, that's what Mary Magdalene did, or sharing of what AD the series is sharing, that we need individuals who are standing in a post, who can keep watch, to secure the gate, secure the future. Even when these transformational leaders falter, we still can lean on the everlasting arm of Christ in order to kind of get us back to where we need to be. No matter where, if it needs to be influence, if it's spirit, or so forth, we just have to find individuals to stand a post. If it's in Ferguson, if it's our church and our homes, if you're not being called to be the rock or to go ye, you know, what must we do? We just need to protect what is built. We need to, what is changed, what is sacred. You know, we need to build some gatekeepers in Christ's name in today's society. As we look at Ferguson, we look at Syria, we look at all sorts of places, And where I heard a guest earlier today on today's show and said we need the blueprint of the civil rights movement to fix things when they're talking about Ferguson or Baltimore in our country. Frankly, I know I said I want to tell you what to do on the show, but she was wrong. We need new leadership, not leadership who could change like a chameleon for political expediency or who are the problem profiteers like what Booker T. Washington warned us two generations ago. We need a different mode of courage, a different mode of compassion, a different mode of character. You know, we as we stand opposed, we can't stand on the belt of political correctness where it's become the world's truth become its own truth. We can't stand in the breastplate of civil righteousness that's departed from God, or in the shoes of marching of the past that where we're enchained by our own victimization, our own needs and so forth, or even the shield of the law. Can't stand opposed to that in order to be part of this transformation that the Lord called us all to do, or even sit back in the helmet of slavery that is of unforgiveness, shame, and fear, even from the point of the sword of iniquity that feeds an unholy spirit. But rather, we got to stand opposed, being fully present as Mary Magdalene did, not abandoning her post when Christ is going through his biggest despair, and being present and not running away. And the only way you're able to do that is not using a blueprint of what the guest on today's show, but what Ephesians 6, 10 to 18 shares. It said, finally, be strong in the Lord and in mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so you can take your stand against the devil's scheme. For all struggles is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you'll be able to stand your ground after what you have done to stand. So here's what it says. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit of all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. And with this in mind, be alert and always keep in prayers for all of God's people. Stand opposed. Stand opposed like Mary Magdalene. You don't have to be on a radio show. You don't have to be on TV. You don't have to have a church. You don't have to have a Facebook page. You don't have to do any of these things in order to stand opposed. And so so please, please, wherever you are, no matter what your talent, what your purpose is, no matter what your calling is, let's get back into word and be fully present for what the God's asking us and calling us to do, not abandoning our posts, being persistent and not running away. And in the end of the day, what makes a leader like Mary Magdalene different, no matter if you're male or female, there's something you can take from this because she was present and witness of this. Be courage, be courageous, and having your own voice in this, what we're dealing with. Compassion, power, and witness, and witnessing not only to him, but also using your testimony in order to witness. And in character, always speak truth to power, and the word of God is the truth to power. So please watch AD, the Bible continues, because the year is now, and if we live, Lord spare, we'll talk to you next week. Kennedy's going to close us out.
Before we go, we thank our special guest, Chief Will Chung. We thank you for tuning in. We hope that our ministry helps you get on cue with the Lord. I have an ask for all of you. Put us on your prayer list. Like us on Facebook at On Cue Radio and follow us on Twitter at Cue Leadership. Invite a friend to listen to this show and to next week's show. If you're a leader in the church, on the field, at work, at home, in the community, or anywhere, consider us to enhance your leadership. For more information, go to our website, www.cueleadership.org or .com. If you would like to be a sponsor, please email us at onq@qleadership.com. Also, buy my dad's book, The Leader in the Mirror, which was released on February 5th. We give all honor and praise to Christ our Savior. I'm sure my dad thanks his producer assistant, me, his better half, best friend, wife, my mom, my little sister, Carson, all of our family, friends, and life, and on Facebook. We We dedicate this show to the earthquake victims in Nepal. This has been On Cue Radio. Until next week, get on cue with God's will, get on cue with God's calling in your life, and get others on cue with that calling.
How do you lead a people who are starved, who are broken, who are isolated?
You lead them where they are, by getting them on cue for God's will, by getting them on cue for His calling on their lives. Let us help you get on cue.
How powerful is your leadership? Do people trust you? Would people follow you if you were not their boss, not their parent, not their sibling, not their commanding officer? Let us help you get on cue.
Let us help you get on cue.